Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a fine guest with us this half hour. Her name is Erin Barbato. She is the director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. We were talking about the fact that the United States and our system is somewhat unique in that people can arrive here. They need to be here to request asylum here unless they are otherwise designated as a refugee by the United Nations, which program is paused regardless under Trump's, I think, one of his first executive orders, except, of course, if you're a white Afrikaner from South Africa, which that's a topic for an entirely different day. And I know how damnedly hard it is to put forward an asylum claim. I worked on approximately four different cases. Mm-hmm. And if just I'll describe it briefly, and if you could help fill in some of the details. And then I wanted to get to what does someone do if they're here already without legal permission? Mm-hmm. But just in brief, asylum cases can be brought on a variety of bases. You're being persecuted, or your life is at threat because of your gender, your family, you're getting extorted, all kinds. There's a huge gamut. One of the challenges is that in certain countries, if you are trying to get the documentation to both prove your client's identity and prove the imminent threat to their life, especially if it's due to another government's action. Mm-hmm. Gee whiz, hello, government of Myanmar. Please send me a notarized statement that you're going to kill my client because of their that document doesn't exist. Right. Can you just share a little bit and flesh out for people better than I could based on my now 20-year-old memories of these cases, how challenging those asylum cases are to prove up and bring and how time-consuming?
Yeah, I mean, they are extremely challenging. I think the one of the biggest misconceptions is that, you know, in criminal court, when someone is charged with a crime, they're going to have a lawyer that's paid for by our government. In immigration proceedings, when someone is facing deportation, they can have a lawyer, but only if they can pay for one or find a pro bono one. In Wisconsin, we are an immigration lawyer desert, especially for pro bono services. So people being able to find an attorney to help them present their case to an immigration judge when our government is trying to deport you with a very trained immigration officer, a lawyer who works for ICE, it's incredibly difficult. You're five times more likely to be successful in applying for asylum if you have a lawyer in court with you, right? And so that's what we try to do. We cannot fill the void, but we represent certain individuals who are facing deportation. But we do have to do the amount of hours we put in and resources to find the evidence that we need to support the claim to meet our burden is incredibly difficult. The asylum laws do allow someone to receive asylum if it's just based on their testimony, if they're credible. And so sometimes we just have their testimony, but we hire an expert, but that costs money, right? And we have to find an expert. We may be able to call a witness, but that witness may be in Guatemala and they don't speak English. So it's incredibly difficult to practice in this area, especially when the stakes are so high, there are not enough people able to represent individuals seeking asylum, and when your client could be facing certain death or persecution if you don't succeed in immigration court.
Professor Barbato, I want to get back to an anecdote that you started to tell, and I think I interrupted you, that might bring home, you know, the human cost here and just the tragic story. You mentioned a father who has several kids, I think five kids. I can't remember what you said. Tell us that story, what's happening to that family, and make it real for folks who are listening who may not follow every little legal nuance, but can grab hold of this.
Yeah, every case is nuanced, right? But there are two cases specifically of fathers who had prior deportation orders in the past week that are going to be deported. The deportation orders were not because of they had criminal records or anything like that. They failed to show up at immigration court in the past, which is not something that they should have done, right? They should have gone. But now under the administration and their enforcement priorities, they've been arrested by ICE and they're in deportation proceedings, they're in detention, and they're gonna be deported because we would need a year or so to build a case and potentially fight it, and it would take all of our resources. but one father is leaving behind 5 U.S. citizen children, and one is leaving behind 4 U.S. citizen children. And the moms rely on the income of the father that's leaving. And so it's just in something new. This isn't new, but it's more pronounced, and we're going to see it throughout our communities. And the people that are going to suffer the most are U.S. citizen children.
And how old are these kids?
They range from 1-year-old to 16.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Erin, if someone's here without legal permission, what are their options?
You know, if someone enters the United States without authorization, there's not going to be many options for them. If they want to apply for asylum, you have to do so within the first year of being in the U.S. There are some exceptions for something called Convention Against Torture. But a lot of people enter the United States, unless they have a close family member, like marry a U.S. citizen, they're probably not going to have a pathway to citizenship without being a victim of a very serious crime. And even if you're married to a U.S. citizen, it often requires you to leave the country and be there for potentially 10 years. And that's just not an option for most families. So, you know, people say, get in line, do whatever you do to do it right. There's not really a way to do it right for most people.
There's not really a way to do it right for most people. And that is the problem. We have a broken system that's not right. Serving us. It's not serving people who want to be here legally. You will be back, I hope, Professor Barbato, to continue to discuss this important topic. Thank you so much to Erin Murphy Barbato, Director of the Immigrant Justice Clinic at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Please keep up the good work. My thanks to each and every one of you and all of the students there. Tell them people do care and appreciate what they're doing. We'll be back with Matt on the other side. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.